Today I want you guys to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. You know how I like to preach new messages all the time. And I would pick up a subject and just pack it so much. And the next time I would go to another topic and another topic. Well, the Holy Spirit convicted me a few weeks ago. And He said, you preach too much. And what you do is you amuse people. And what happens is that people need time to chew on something. When I preach a new message, then you get excited. But all it is just an excitement. What happens is, if I don't preach it many times, because we need to hear something many times for us to actually sink in, right? You hear it once, it sounds good, but unless I keep on repeating it and repeating it, then actually on a third time or fourth time, you'd be like, oh, maybe I should do that. Because on the first time, you just say, wow, it sounds good. That was a good message, Pastor. But really, in order for our church to have great impact, we need to repeat. You know, like we heard about salvation so many times. And finally, we believed it. And now we don't doubt it. It's part of our DNA. But what if you heard it just one time, that God forgives you of your sin, and the doubts came the next day? You wouldn't know what to do. You'd be like, do I believe this or don't? So that's why we're going to be repeating things. And I kind of not used to that. So bear with me. So let's read Matthew 13, verse 44. It says this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy of it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Say merchant. Okay, merchant. A kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one of great value, he went and sold all that he had and brought it and bought it. Now, Jesus is making a great point here. The point is this, that the kingdom of heaven is something. Interesting thing is, first it says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden. And the next time it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Now let's look, and I want to ask you guys a question. Who is a merchant? What is a merchant? Business person. So can we say the kingdom of heaven is like a business person? Will that be accurate or not? Okay, so it's accurate. So everybody, we don't want any doubters here. So we want everybody to believe. The kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. Okay, huh. Now in the Bible, in the New Testament, we see many different ways that Jesus put what kingdom of heaven is. Let me read to you. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in a field. Can we say that farmer is kind of like a businessman? Because he puts little and he gets hopefully 30 times more. 60 or maybe even 100 times more. So a kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted a seed in a field. Then the next one. The kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net thrown in the water for a great catch. Get the point in this. Next one. A kingdom of heaven is like a yeast a woman used in making bread. Okay? Again, what is yeast for? You put it in a little bit and it grows. Huh. Now next one. A kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that is the smallest of all seed. But when it grows up, it becomes the biggest. And birds of the air and beasts of the field find refuge in it, in its branches. So notice when we talk about kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom that we all entered upon believing, it talks about what? Growth or multiplication. Alex just spoke here and he said, the first words that God said to human being is be fruitful and multiply. That's the blessing. Okay? That's what God wants us to live in. God doesn't want us to be cursed. What brought curse is sin. So sin always brings curse. God always blesses a person. And Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. But then it says if a person wants to be rich on his own, he falls into many temptations and begins to experience many sorrows. So interesting. So when we do it our way, we want to be rich out of greed, out of pride, searching for power and glory. Then what happens is, brings a lot of sorrow in our life. What's money if you're sick? What's money if you are, your family is falling apart, you're divorced? What's money if you don't have any friends? What's money if you're depressed? What's money if you're always obsessed and just never have any fun? What's money if you can't enjoy life? So when we talk about blessing, we're not talking finances only. We're talking the whole thing. Jesus said this, Satan has come, a thief has come to kill, to steal and destroy. But look, the reason he came. I have come to give life in abundance. So when you think about why am I a Christian? What does Jesus do for me? He gives me life in abundance. I'm a testimony to that. It works. Notice that he didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to give life to the fullest. That's the purpose for humanity. And so when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about multiplication. Throw in a net, get a lot of fish, all kinds. Sow a seed, get more. All right, so interesting. Now, let's talk about the difference again between a business person and a worker, regular worker. Now, some of us are business people here. Some of us are workers, and that's totally cool. I'm not here to talk bad about the workers or business people. Okay? Now, but because you can be working at a job and still have a kingdom mindset. Yeah. Not everybody's going to own their own business. They might work for somebody, but they take dominion over that place where they work. Okay? Let me make that clear right away. The difference between business mindset and a worker mindset is that worker comes and he does his duty, not more, not less, what's required, gets his paycheck and leaves and forgets about the job. Business person is the person who pretty much lives it every day. Okay? Businessmen work more than 8 hours a day. Some people think, if I was a businessman, I would get up at 12 in the morning or noon and only work till 3. I've had people say to me that. That's crazy. You're not going to do that. Usually what happens if you become a businessman, you start working more. You stop getting up early, you know, and just working 10, 12 hours a day. And be careful because you might be workaholic. All right, so there's a difference between business and worker. God is saying, or Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. So I want to know, and I'm sure you want to know, what does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean? How do I apply that into my life? And so what we're going to do is we're just going to look at verse 45. And again, kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, did you know that Jesus was a businessman? Oh, yeah. Jesus was a businessman. I'll prove it to you. Remember, 12 years old, he goes into the temple, forgets that his parents are still there, kind of goes a little ahead of himself, I'm thinking. His parents lose him for 3 days, and then they find him preaching and speaking to the, you know, great people of the day, teachers, Pharisees, all those people. And his parents kind of get mad and say, Jesus, what have you done? We've been worried sick about you for 3 days. And his answer is, didn't you know? He said, why did you seek me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's said business? Oh, he didn't say it was ministry. I'm not a minister, I'm a businessman that ministers. Hallelujah. Notice Jesus said, I must be about my father's business, not ministry. Why did he say business, not ministry? I need to still meditate on that. All right, let's keep going. All right, this is what Mike Murdoch says about what business is. Business is simply solving a problem for an agreed reward. Guys, whatever you do that solves problem and brings you a reward, that's business. And notice it's not only financial. It's relational. It's your gift. It's every area of your life. Everything in your life, whatever brings a reward. Something that you do to solve some kind of a problem. Okay, let's keep going. Now, this merchant was already a businessman and he was seeking. If you think about it, if I have a business, why should I be looking? Why should I be seeking? My business is going good. You know, I should just relax and go on vacation. And that's a lot of our mindset. If I had a business, I would never work a day of my life. I'll just be going all over the world, traveling, you know. And you wouldn't have a business then. Because if you hire a whole bunch of workers, then they'll be only workers. But unless you have a business mind, that's the difference why business people get paid more, you know, than workers. Because they're not just working there. They're not just putting hours in. They're seeking. They're looking. Where's my opportunities? Where can I get a new contract? What can I do to get me more exposure? How can I find something greater than I'm doing right now? Okay, so let's keep looking at this. I think there's a great lesson for us today is this. Just because we have a little bit of knowledge of God doesn't mean we should stop having the knowledge of God. Just because we know that we have some gift doesn't mean that we should say, oh, I got my gift, I could sing or I could preach, that's all I'm going to do. There's much more. God says, to one He gave... Oh, God is a businessman. Did you know that? Actually, guys, can I make a kind of a speculation? Not speculation, it's a statement. That this story is about Jesus. Jesus is the merchant. Should I explain? Jesus had everything in heaven. Bible says He forsaked them all of it. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And this merchant goes with joy, sells everything. Wow, we must be valuable. We must be those pearls. Woo! And Bible says, be like your heavenly Father. Oh, let me give you an example. Yesterday, I was sitting in eating seats, sunflower seats, in front of my garage. And I was wearing shorts, army shorts, and a white shirt. And Alex was playing around. Then he was swimming in a little tub or pool, whatever you call it. He ran into the house, put shorts on, the same kind I had, you know, the army shorts. Ran out and said, Dad, look, I got the same shirt, shorts. And I said, wow, look, nice. And then he's looking at me. Something's not right yet. He runs back into the house, puts exactly the same t-shirt on. And he come again and says, Dad, look, I'm like you. You want to sit like me too? And you know what? I'm, as a father, and we as parents are proud of that. When our children want to be like us. Right? So guess what? God says in His Word that be like your Father. Be like Jesus. And our Father is a businessman. Remember the story Jesus said, a parable, when one person was given one talent, a second person was given two talent, and a third person was given five talent. And the one that multiplied the five talent was praised. The one that multiplied two talent was praised. And the one that didn't do anything, listen to what God said. You evil servant, why didn't you give this talent to investors so I would come and receive my thing with what? Interest. He called him an evil, wicked servant. Oh. See, so when we have a mentality of just a worker, all we do is we want to maintain. We don't want to increase. We don't want to be fruitful and multiply. But it brings God pleasure when we multiply. Imagine our church got a revelation of a businessman. Imagine what would happen with evangelism. Imagine how we would pour ourselves into people. We would be like that merchant searching. Who can I pour into? God, who should I give my stuff? I know so much about You, but I want to pour it into somebody. I want to mentor somebody. Imagine our church getting a mentality like that. For evangelism. If you don't have any many friends, imagine you getting a mentality of a kingdom, of a merchant type of a mindset. Wow, what you can do. You'll have so many friends around you. And then you can lead them to Jesus. Because that's the whole purpose of our church. Is to get people closer to Jesus. To get them to know Jesus. And then Jesus comes. Father sends... Okay, look at this. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Right? To save us. But then Jesus says, I have come to do something else. To give you life to its fullest. So God sent Jesus to save us. Jesus has come on His own to give us life to its fullest. So don't just preach the part God wants to save you. And I had a problem with this, people. Because I would be so like this. I'd be like, well, now I'm saved and I'm trying not to sin. I mean, I'm trying my best not to sin. And I realize my motives are wrong someplace. And it's like, or then I do this, or I get angry here. And I've tried for like 5 years to live a perfect life. And then I said, God? And God says, you know what you're doing? When you focus only on sins, it's like you're taking a fruit from a tree and pulling it off. But guess what? Next year, another one will grow. So you'll always be pulling down fruits. But really not doing anything. That needs to be cut off. And so I said, God, huh? And then I was hoping that by now I'd be like perfect in Christianity. But now I know that till the day I die, I won't be perfect. And God knew that I wasn't going to be perfect and still saved me. He knew that I was going to make mistakes and still save me. So maybe I shouldn't focus so much on trying to be just like a monk, perfect, you know, and beat myself. You know, I'm a perfectionist. So when I mess up, I am so hard on myself. I get depressed. I mean, when I mess up, I'm like, Lord, how could this happen? A pastor. What was I talking about? I got off the subject a little bit. Amen. So invest in yourself, having your mindset. And like I said, you can work for somebody and still be a person with a kingdom mind. Because the kingdom is like, okay? If you said that apple tastes like something, what would that mean? Like something. You would mean they kind of similar. So the kingdom and a businessman. I had a call yesterday. We were having breakfast and had a little meeting yesterday in Frying Pan. I had a call yesterday from my friend. And he said, God wants many millionaires in your church to arise. I'm like, thank you. That's just a confirmation. We've heard that many times before. And he's like, don't wait till you get big to do something for God. Do it now. God wants you all over the world now. He wants you to travel to different places, whatever He leads you now. Don't wait till you get big. We got to do it, church. We got to start investing. We have something in us here. We have so many gifted people and talented people. Oh my goodness. So many leaders. And there's so many who are just waiting to be exposed. So many are waiting to be exposed. And God is not trying to, He wants to do it now. So don't wait till, you know, something happens. Do it now. Okay, let's keep going. So, let me talk to you about investing again. In Ecclesiastes 11:1, can somebody open that? Ecclesiastes 11:1. Because we're talking about business now. Send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places. So don't put it all in one basket. Many places. For you do not know what risk might be ahead. Then verse 6. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. For you do not know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Now this is, a lot of times we think Bible is just to make us humble and kind of, you know, lowly nothing, kind of fake humility, you know. Oh, I'm nothing, but just touch me. I'm nobody, but don't mess with me. You know, those types. But see, God wants to multiply. God says sow. And Bible says seed is what? The word of God. And the soil is the heart. You sow it in your heart. You speak the word. You sow it in your heart. Then you sow it into other people. You speak good to other people. Prophesy to other people. Tell them that God wants to bless them. Tell them God has a great purpose for them. Tell them that God wants to use their gifts. Pour yourself out in many people. And then you don't know which one is going to produce. Or all of them are going to produce. Hallelujah. Make financial investments. Don't just eat everything you got. We're talking every area of our life. Don't get mad at me, religious people. We're talking every area of your life. Not just, you know, physical, spiritual. What's the point if I have spiritual but I'm not happy? What's the point that I don't have any friends to share it with? You can, listen to me, people. You can have spiritual, you can be spiritually strong, but could be the most miserable person there is. I want to share something. Hold this. I want to share something. In the beginning of this ministry, 5 years ago, God, I felt like, was taking everything away from me. Everything. He was taking my friends, and I was okay with that, letting it go. But then He started taking my house. And one day, we were living in this house that we built, and I was just that feeling came over me. Can you give up your house and live in an apartment if you had to? And I was like, Lord, I like my house. I don't want to live in an apartment, you know. He's like, can you live in a very little apartment? And I was in this little apartment. I mean, it was tiny. And I remember there was a lot of smoke there because I was there. And He would show me that picture. Can you live in that? And I'd be like, no, God, I don't want to live in that. And after a while, He just got to me. And I'm like, fine, God, I give it up to You. Fine, if You want to take my house away, go ahead, take it. Because, and what God said, I don't want your house. I just don't want your heart to be in that house. See, He says, if I take a house away from you, but I don't take your heart away from that house, what's good? See, a lot of people, they don't have anything, but their heart is in it. You see the mentality? Kingdom mentality. So what God is not trying to make you poor, sick, but He's saying, will you serve me still if I take those blessings away? Like Job, remember? And we have example of Job, so let's learn from him. And so I said, fine, God, I'll give it away to you. And when I give it away, soon later, we bought a piece of property. And my heart wasn't in it anymore. I didn't care what house I lived anymore. You ask my wife right now, and she'll tell you, he doesn't care what house he lives in. I can live in a box. Well, my heart is not in it. That's the point. A year later, I had a house twice as big, or three times, or four times as big. Didn't care for it. And guess what God says? I'm going to give you twice as much or three times as much as what you have now. I said, I don't want a house like that anymore. I mean, our house is big enough. So much work. Before people come, I have to vacuum through the whole thing. It takes me like half an hour. I'm sweaty. I mean, I have to take a shower before every time somebody comes to our house. I mean, we break vacuums like crazy. I mean, vacuum cleaners, you know, just like... We need some... good one or some, I don't know. And then next, God started doing this, guys. He said, I want your business. And I'm like, God, if you take the business away, what am I going to do? I can't work in McDonald's. I can't work in, you know, in some store or whatever. God, what am I going to do? And Soon later, I don't know how long, but my insurance policy expires on the business. And you can't do business without insurance policy. And this is the kind of insurance, it's not like I saved money on my car insurance type insurance. You know, Geico type. This is insurance that you buy and you pay whatever they ask. Because, I mean, there's like one or two companies in Sioux Falls that provide that type of insurance. Because of the job and danger and everything. And so, my policy expires. They send me a note that your insurance policy is going to expire. I don't think they're going to carry it anymore. Something too much risk, blah, blah, blah. And they said, you have a month. Oh, I had a heck of a month. Because I was like, and everywhere I turn, nobody provides that insurance. And you know what? He drove me. He bent me. He drove me to my knees. I mean, I just like, fine, God. If you want my business, you can have it. I mean, I was, you know, I talked to God like that. Fine. Like my wife. I talked to her, fine. You can have it. You know? And I felt like it's been cut off. And I just received this ease. I'm like, well, I gave him my house. So I won't need the house anymore. I could live in an apartment. I'm fine with that now. Now I give him a business. So I won't need so much money to, you know, to support the house. You know how we logically think about everything? And I said, fine. He's going to take it away. Next day, somehow, somewhat, they told me where to go. Somebody told me, just go there and they'll give you the insurance. And I go and I get an insurance. But my heart was not in my business anymore. And then he did the same thing with my parents. There was a moment where I said, God, I love you more than my parents. I had to give my parents up. And, I mean, you know how you love your wife? Well, some of you, probably more than your parents. I mean, it's different love. But I just felt this love for God, like for nobody. And then he said, can you give up your family for me? And listen to what the Bible says. You remember a rich young ruler? He met with Jesus. And Jesus said, was offering him something greater. He recognized that. But see, he was a rich man with poor mindset. The rich man with poor mindset. What does that mean? He probably inherited the money. How did he become rich, that rich young ruler? Probably inheritance. Notice he was obedient from his youth. He fulfilled all the commandments, so he had good family he grew up with. Let me read this to you. This is Matthew 19:29. And Jesus said, one thing is needed. Go sell everything and follow me. And when this rich young ruler heard Jesus say that to him, he got upset. And he left with sorrow. He had riches with sorrow. But listen to what Jesus later says in Matthew 19:29. It says this, and everyone who has given up houses or brothers or property or sisters or father or mother or children or property. Let me read it again. And everyone who has given up houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, children or property or businesses or land or whatever it is, for my sake, will receive 100 times in return in this life and eternal life in the next life. I don't think Jesus wanted to make him poor. I think Jesus just wanted his wealth to be somewhere else. A lot of times God is not looking to subtract from you. When he says, can you give up something? Can you give up this addiction? Can you give up this friend that has bad influence on you? Can you give this up? Can you give up 10% so I can bless you even more? Do you remember the woman Elijah was sent to? She had a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And notice, before she could receive a blessing, he says, give me first. I never could understand that. I would like, it's like a preacher coming to your home and you have a piece of chicken. And he says, give me that piece of chicken. And that's all you have. See how God works? God works by investment, by sowing. Sowing is actually a business mindset. Because you can do this. You can eat it now. You can eat a piece of corn now. Or you can sow it and get a lot of corn. Hallelujah. God is a businessman, people. And God wants to change our mind today. As far as evangelism goes, He wants us to think business-like. I'm so glad that some young people are coming to me and saying, what can we do? How can we bring more people to church? How can we bring more people to Jesus? I'm excited about that. Imagine if all of us got that mindset. And listen to me. I will preach it, maybe not the same way, but different ways, till all of us get it. Because everyone in this church must receive that kingdom anointing. He found the treasure. The Bible says, seek and you will find. I don't have time to talk much about that. Then he sold everything. Now, a lot of times God will ask you to give up something. Like sell something. To give up something. And you think that He's trying to make you poor. That He's trying to make you a beggar, a bum. And that's a principle of God. You give up something because that's faith. When a farmer sows physically, he believes, right? He believes that it's going to produce. So what God is looking for in believers and unbelievers, He's producing faith so He can bless them. So when business people who are not believers in the world recognize these principles and begin to use them, they become blessed. And we, church people, God's people, kingdom people, have this vast amount of revelation. Poor. And saying, all I need is just enough to feed me and my family. And then go to the movies once in a while. Buy some popcorn. No. God wants to bless you and make you a blessing. Listen to me. God, young people, especially over there, listen up. God wants to bless you and make you a blessing. What does that mean? He wants to give you enough so you can give to others. It's selfish just to seek a blessing. You are a selfish person if you're saying, all I want is enough for me. Because it's all about me. But don't pray like that. Say, God, bless me enough so I can bless other people. So I can give. So my cup overflows. Pray like that and watch what God is going to do, because that's not selfish. That's a heart that God has. Hallelujah. He sold everything. Let's talk about that just for 1 minute. A lot of times before you can get something, you got to sell something. You got to give up something. He had a great amount of everything. I mean, he had a house, probably had a white picket fence. He had cows, dogs, and he had a little well in front of his door, and he had maybe a pond. You know, he sells it. He buys a piece of rock. Most people say, how could you do that? His wife was going nuts probably. What are you doing? Amen. What are you doing, husband? But he's got a business mind. He knows that this treasure is 5 times or 10 times or 100-fold of what he has. Guys, if you are not really ready to give up something, God will not release something more into your life. That's how it works. If you're not even able to give up your 10% that God already gave you, how can He release more into your life? Can't. Everything. It's a kingdom thing. Worker knows that when he works, he'll receive a paycheck. That's guaranteed. Investor invests by faith, knowing he'll receive 30 times, 60 times, or 100-fold. This is not a money message, but God wants us to become a merchant. For us to have a merchant mindset, businessman mindset. Rich ruler was not able to give up, and he lost 100-fold. She said, "Who will receive 100-fold?" He could have been very rich, maybe not finances, but different area. But I don't know that finances that he had. 70 years later, or so he lost them. Not 70 years, yeah, about 70 years later, because Jerusalem was overtaken by Roman. Everybody, every rich person, lost everything. He goes and buys this treasure.